My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. And right now on the line, our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise.
Ooh.
May your game day be delicious. Hey, Ross, I enjoyed the call on Colorado State on Saturday night. I thought you did a great job. My wife and I watched the whole game. I really admired how you danced around on the broadcast, just how ridiculously low the football IQ was of the Colorado State quarterback. You did a very diplomatic job of that, I thought. He was a mess, that kid. I felt bad.
Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment, Sean, yes. And thank you very much for watching. I appreciate it. That game was sort of a bummer in the sense that last year's game was absolutely incredible,
yes,
and electric, and went to double overtime and all those things. And so I was very excited because I thought Colorado State's supposed to be better this year. The game was in Fort Collins. It hadn't been there since 1996. So they were telling me that it was, and evidently is, like, was the biggest event in the history of Fort Collins, Colorado. Because so often that game has been played at the Bronco Stadium at Mile High. So it was sold out forever. The atmosphere was, I mean, I would say half the student section at least was filled 2 hours before the game. And they were just yelling at all the Colorado players. And then unfortunately, Colorado State, I mean, really could not have played much worse. Their best player was hurt. They shot themselves in the foot a million times. You referenced their quarterback, Braden Fowler Nicolosi. He's kind of a gunslinger.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of costly turnovers. He's from somewhere in Texas. Alito? Is that near you guys? Alito? I don't know where Alito is.
I don't know where that is. Yeah, not sure.
I think it's between West and Bel Air.
So it was a bummer that and I don't really ever care who wins. As a broadcaster, I love close games because that's more fun for me. But also, they had so many students there.
Yeah.
And they really didn't give them, like, a single thing to really get excited about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just, I love the sport. I want, when there's a good crowd and it's a big deal, like, I want those people to be excited and fired up and have cool things to hear about and get fired up about, and they just were never really able to do that for him. And Colorado has a couple of fantastic players in particular. I mean, the Travis Hunter kid is just
he's good
It's crazy, crazy what he's like. He's not just playing both ways. He's playing almost every snap both ways, and he is excelling on both sides. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, he can play both ways. No. He is, if you just looked at, like, if you listed the top five receivers in college football, he's one of them. If you listed the top five corners in college football, he's one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, think about, Seth can tell you this. Think about just, like, how many meetings he has to go to.
Right.
Think about what practice is like. Like, I'm there, and I'm annoyed I didn't say this during the game. I went to their practice. The defense wears black jerseys. The offense wears white jerseys. Travis Hunter wears a gray jersey, so he can go on either one.
That's wild.
Hey, Ross, what on the NFL side of things, from a perspective of somebody obviously outside the city of Houston, Texans are 2-0. I think the offense has not necessarily been the fireworks that people anticipated, and yet here I think most Texans fans feel pretty good about the team in total. How do you look at the Texans right now after two games?
Yeah, I think the way they've won these games makes me feel even better about them. You know, coming into the season, the last thing I was sort of concerned about, like the known entity, was just, you know, obviously C.J. Stroud in the passing game, especially with Dell back and Nico Collins and Diggs and whatever. The two sort of unknowns were how well they would run the football and then the defense. Well, you know, especially in the first game, they ran it very, very well. And then the defense, I mean, they looked awesome against the Bears. Now, how much of that is the Bears? I don't know. But Daniil Hunter looks special still. And I think that the two most common denominators of Super Bowl caliber teams, I would say, is obviously quarterback number one, you know, sort of like an MVP level quarterback. And then the other one is a dominant defensive line, you know, usually led by one guy, but a dominant defensive line. And so that's pretty impressive what the Texans have right now. I mean, I think I had them, you know, fourth or fifth in my power rankings. And I think you can make an argument right now that they appear to be the team with the best chance to knock off the Chiefs.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people saying that this week, Ross. They've got an interesting matchup this weekend because they head up to Minnesota before a couple of games with Jacksonville and Buffalo coming up. So, you know, those are big home games coming up with a division rival, and then Buffalo's going to have a lot of juice because of the whole Diggs thing. And this Minnesota game is just in sort of a weird spot coming off of Sunday Night Football. You're heading up to Minnesota, and Minnesota's 2-0, and Sam Darnold looks good a couple games in. What are your thoughts on that matchup this weekend?
Yeah, well, number one, I think, and with every passing year, I think this more and more, coaching is so important. I mean, think about, like, the Packers and Malik Willis, right? I have never seen that young man look even halfway competent as an NFL quarterback in a couple years in Tennessee. Now he goes to Green Bay, and after 2 weeks, he leads them to a win, and he looks pretty good. And I think the same can be said. I mean, this is Sam Darnold's fourth team. And he already looks way, way better in Minnesota than he ever looked in with the Jets or the Panthers or even last year with the Niners. And so I just think, you know, it's a real tip of the cap to Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, some of these coaches. And this is going to be a tough game for the Texans. Mm-hmm. The thing that maybe surprised me the most about the Vikings right now, they lead the NFL in sacks. You know, they let you guys get Daniil Hunter, and yet they lead the NFL in sacks in part because they have the most exotic defensive scheme in the NFL. This is going to be really a good challenge for Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. Greg Cosell talks about this all the time on my show on Thursdays, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. So last year, think about this, guys. Brian Flores and the Vikings, their D coordinator, led the league in the amount of three-man rush and the amount of six guys or more rush. So standard is kind of a four-man rush. A lot of times people will bring an extra guy for a five-man rush. And so teams are kind of used to that. Whereas Flores, like, goes to extreme. What song is that? I go to extreme. Anyway.
Billy Joel. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway.
That's exactly who Brian Flores likes to be compared to.
Billy Joel. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Flores, he told me that the main reason why he does this, because he was hoping someday on Houston radio I would compare him to Billy Joel.
Right.
But, darling, I don't know why I go to extreme. How good, like, scale 1 to 10, how terrible was that?
1.5.
It was better than the Texans' attempt at the Sunday Night Football.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Do you think I have a question. Was it bad enough that you think we lost? Like, did people turn the channel? Or was it so bad that people are laughing and they're still here?
No. So bad people are laughing and so bad we'll make a hotkey out of it. I promise you that. It'll get used again at some point.
What's a hotkey?
It means that it'll get, like, it takes, like, little sound bites and Ben will just, our producer will just drop them in at some point. So sometime when it's something extreme happens in the future, we're going to play you singing I Go to Extremes. You won't
be anyway, Flores is going to, like, after the game, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Brock Purdy, the Niners quarterback, said to Flores after the game, your scheme is crazy, man. So that is, that's the big challenge for Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud this week. It's the most exotic scheme in the NFL. It'll be fun to see whether or not they're up to the challenge.
Well, that's where, in Ross, you know, you as a former offensive lineman, and you've played for some really smart coaches and coordinators. The offensive line right now is perhaps the biggest question mark for the Texans, especially with their starting center banged up. That's what I'm nervous about this week, is that they've made some mental errors, more so mental than physical errors in the first couple games. And versus Flores, who blitzes a lot, like you pointed out, and can do it in exotic ways. Give me some hope for teams that have fixed this stuff mid-season or on the fly. Just being able to just clean up some of the mental errors and miscues to where guys are just coming free, and it's because the O-line looks inept at times.
Yeah, well, as you know, first of all, it's a pet peeve of mine, and most of it might be the offensive line, but it's important to note that, you know, a lot of times – when a guy comes free, it's not the offensive line's responsibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, the offensive line's usually pretty good about knowing who they should block. If they're not, it's either the center or it's the quarterback typically, unless they point out the right guy and then one of the other guys still doesn't block him. But then so often, you know, sometimes it's the responsibility of the running back and they don't get him. Sometimes they're supposed to let the guy come, and then the quarterback's supposed to get rid of it. I think people know it's called a hot route or a sight adjust or whatever. And so there's a bunch of different people it can be when guys are coming free. I think that they will fix it, but as you know, Seth, like the Eagles never fixed it at the end of last year, and it cost them dearly. The way the NFL works is if you are showing an issue – it's not like, oh, you know, they're having trouble with the blitz, we shouldn't blitz them as much. Like, no. It's they're having trouble with the blitz, send everybody and try to kill the quarterback. That's how the NFL works. And so that's what they're going to try to do on Sunday. If they feel like the Texans are having that issue, I would be surprised if Flores does not try to heat them up early and often.
Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Ross Tucker's our Odyssey NFL insider. You can get Hellman's at Walmart, Kroger, your local grocery store, to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hey, Ross, before we let you go, we'd be remiss not to ask you about last night's Monday Night Football game, given your ties to the Philadelphia Eagles. Is Philadelphia burning to the ground tonight? Have you checked in on your people there?
Oh, it's bad, man. It's bad. It was Nick Foles' retirement night. It was Jason Kelce was there, you know, for everything. I mean, it was the home opener, and they were not able to seal the deal late. You know, it's like the perfect storm for sports talk radio, in that there were some star players that literally dropped the ball and, you know, cost them the game. And then there's a lot of questionable decisions. You know, it's like – it's ideal if you want to get engagement on radio or social media because they elect to throw the ball on third and three with a minute and a half left. The Falcons don't have any timeouts left. They're inside the 10. Saquon Barkley's wide open, but then he drops it. And so the question is, the debate is it all on Saquon or should they have just run it? And I think you can make pretty compelling arguments either way. So going to be one of those days, really going to be one of those weeks. And now what's really crazy is before the year, it was, okay, they play the Packers, and then they play three NFC South teams. So you're like, okay, that's not bad. Well, now they beat the Packers, but now they lose at home to the Falcons. Now they play the Saints, who are now my number two team in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast Power Rankings. They look amazing. And then they got to play the Bucks, who are also undefeated.
Wow.
So you don't really know. Like, that's the funny thing about schedules. You guys probably thought before the year, oh, at Minnesota, Sam Darnold.
Yes.
That's a win.
Yeah. Yep.
And now it's a tough game.
Yeah, it's crazy. 25-1 on Nick Sirianni, first head coach fired. Is there value there?
No, that would surprise me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if he didn't get the whole year at least. And they still have a good team. I think they'll have a pretty darn good year, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, there you go. Ross Tucker is our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, we'll do it again next week, man. That was fun.
Sounds great. See you guys.
All right. See ya. That's Ross Tucker.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I was thinking about that just now. If we had more time with Ross, I would have told him about our NFL head coach death pool that you and I do. People are really intrigued by that, by the way. I've had a few people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they like that we do that. Yeah. So for those that don't know, Seth and I have done this exercise for a few years where we each pick four head coaches before the season starts, with the goal being to try to have one of those four be the first one fired. And I don't know if you and I have ever captured it or not. I have to go back and look. It turns out maybe just drafting the Carolina head coach might be the right thing to do, because Rhule and Frank Reich have been the first ones fired the last 2 years, and Canales may be on thin ice right now. Who knows? Neither of us picked Canales. You picked Nick Sirianni, though. And yeah, you had Nick Sirianni. I'd say your pool took a nice boost last night. Stock up.
I did it based on the perceived rift between Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And if there's a rift between the head coach and the quarterback that you just gave a huge contract, that coach is gone, man. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to make it happen. You said we hope we make it happen. I don't want to get the guy fired. I'm just looking at.
I want to be right.
You know, people arguing about whether or not they should have passed in that situation to Saquon Barkley. Look, catch the football, and it's a good play call.
Right.
And I think that's always
on Barkley, man.
You always have to look at it and say, all right, whenever the offensive coordinator is looking at a situation where the defense is 100% selling out because to stop the run because they assume you're going to run, well, yeah, then pass.
Right.
It reminds me, it's a different game situation, but 1 year we lost to the Colts up in Indianapolis, and it was really ugly, and it was a year where I think we had started off all right, and this didn't seem as ridiculous as it might sound when Capers said, hey, listen, after the game, he told us, hey, you know, remember what these guys were doing? They were passing on you at the end of the game when the game was already in hand. And I think I remember talking to Kylie Wong about it afterwards. Like, we're both sitting there like, yeah, we had nine guys in the box. Like, yeah, of course
he
was
Manning
passing. Yeah. I don't think Peyton Manning was trying to rub our noses in it or anything. We had nine guys in the box, and they probably weren't going to be able to run successfully. So he passed, and they scored a touchdown late in the game. But it wasn't like they were trying to run up the score. You got to sometimes just call what makes sense based on what you're seeing on defense.
Yeah.
What Ross was talking about with the blitz and Brian Flores, how he just really mixes things up really well. A lot of that always has to come down to your personnel on defense. You can scheme up all kinds of great stuff on the whiteboard that looks like it's going to confuse a quarterback, but you got to have the personnel that's smart enough to carry it out. And Minnesota does a really good job of that. Brian Flores does a really good job of it. The thing that I'd be most nervous about as a Texans fan was that last week, Chicago in the first half wasn't all that successful when they blitzed. The Texans had, I tallied it up yesterday. I don't have it in front of me. I think it was just one negative play versus the blitz in the first half, where in the second half, they had one positive play versus the blitz.
Yeah.
The blitz was more effective as the game went on, and the Texans didn't adjust to it nearly as well. There was, you know, one play where it wasn't on the offensive line like Ross had alluded to. It was a late blitz from a linebacker that got CJ sacked. And that's where guys went in downfield and CJ understanding where to go with it. That's the cat and mouse game between CJ and Bobby Slowick versus Brian Flores. It's going to be really interesting against Minnesota.
It's really interesting, too. Jalen Hurts last night. Like, look, you're right. That play to Saquon Barkley, that's not on the play caller. That's not on Kellen Moore, who's their OC.
Catch
the football is absolutely right. Because Saquon Barkley was wide open. I promise you, the instructions to Jalen Hurts, given that the Falcons had no timeouts left, was only throw it to him if he's wide open. Otherwise,
right. Take the sack,
keep it in bounds, let the clock run at least, and then you're kicking the field goal, but you've burned 40 more seconds off the clock.
You know what that reminds me of? When, you know, people criticize the play call when Matt Schaub in the 2-14 season versus Seattle threw that pick six when the Texans had the lead and they could have closed the game out. People were criticizing the fact that Kubiak called for a pass. But like, no, that's on Schaub to not throw the football. Like, it was all he had to do was take a sack in that moment. You got to trust your football players to do the right thing at some point,
instead of just
following the football 101 playbook.
It's funny, you know, Jalen Hurts makes $50 million a year, and you look around, Seth, and it's almost like, you know, Bryce Young is an indicator as to how hard it is to find a high-level quarterback in the draft. You know, like, there have been a slew of quarterbacks drafted in the first round over the last 3 years, and the only ones really worthy of a conversation as to whether they're a potential long-term answer are C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence. The rest of them are all on second teams now and backups and, you know, going back 3 years now. It's almost like the big second contract has evolved into this next decision that has a 1-in-3 chance of working out. It's just way more expensive because you look at the guys that are the top paid quarterbacks, and for a variety of different reasons right now, I think the fan bases are probably awfully skittish about these guys. You know, like I'll start with Deshaun Watson and count upward because Deshaun got the most guaranteed money, but average annual value, he's behind several guys now because he's at 46. But Deshaun Watson, clear trepidation. Kyler Murray's gotten off to a good start this year, but I think there's no way the Cardinal fans have felt good about it the last couple of years. Jalen Hurts now, who knows what they're saying in Philly. Lamar Jackson, I think they're fine with. Justin Herbert's on like his third coach now. You know, Jared Goff in Detroit, can he get them over the top? Tua might retire. Trevor Lawrence himself, we'll hear it in the 8 o'clock hour, said we suck at his press conference after the game on Sunday. Jordan Love's got a knee injury. Joe Burrow's got a wrist injury. Cowboy fans, how excited are they to have Dak getting $60 million a year after getting the doors beat off him by the Saints on Sunday? Like, this, the big contract for the quarterback has evolved into like the second draft. You know what I mean?
Right. No, and it is. The high pick in the draft is almost just the entry cost.
Yes.
To get into this 3 year window of trying to figure out whether your guy is the guy in that first 3 years. So what makes it really interesting is, all right, then you still have, for most of these guys, including Tua Tagovailoa, who had these, you know, there were people arguing that the Dolphins shouldn't be giving Tua that contract based on his injury history alone. So that becomes that you've paid the cost of entry, which is draft a quarterback high, and then 3 years later, most of the time you're taking another gamble as to whether you leverage your organization's future on a guy that's not 100% proven yet. So, I mean, and because the quarterback's position is so valuable in modern football, teams are willing to do it. The other side of it, though, is you see more and more teams willing to bail on the guy really quickly. I mean, it's just, and it's almost, there's no shame in it.
Yeah.
You know, like they, a year or two into it or even less, they're just, Josh Rosen, they're like, nope, this isn't the guy. Got to move on. Take Kyler Murray the next year.
Dude, and Rosen was the 10th overall pick. The Panthers punted on Bryce. The Panthers punted not just on a number one overall pick yesterday, because I think Bryce is done in Carolina. I don't know, like I don't know that he's wired to come back from this in Carolina. He might need to go somewhere where he gets a new shrink or a head doctor or a Coop Shanistani
coach. His father's a psychologist.
Well, he's got good.
He's fire his father.
Good. He doesn't have to be, yeah. You're right. You're fired, Dad. They punted on Bryce Young yesterday, 19 games into his career. And that's not just the guy they drafted number one overall. That's a guy they traded multiple picks that are still playing out. And DJ Moore, a high-level wide receiver for the right to draft Bryce Young. They traded two firsts and a second and another pick. and DJ Moore to move up nine spots to get Bryce Young.
Okay, well, I'll just go even one further into just the whole matrix of all of this. The other thing we're seeing now, though, too, is that, oh, wow, guys like Geno Smith, perhaps Baker Mayfield, all these other guys that get written off relatively early in their career, maybe we should have stuck with them.
Maybe.
So in Carolina, they could have both made a mistake in trading way too much for Sam Darnold, but they could also be criticized for, hey, you let Sam Darnold walk out the building. Look at what he's doing right now.
Oh, Minnesota, and, yeah.
Baker Mayfield and Cleveland, all of these different guys.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Yeah, all of that serves to tell Texans fans, just, man, be happy and grateful for what you have, because I don't think we're going to be having these conversations with CJ Stroud, and a lot of it is just random luck of the draw.
Yeah, it's a minefield, dude. It's an absolute minefield, and the Texans managed to navigate it. It would appear, you know, it's still early in CJ's career, you know, so we'll see. But I feel great about where we are right now. I feel good about the defense too. It was cool to hear Ross say that, because I kind of agree with him. Like, I am actually more bullish on the Texans now, despite the fact we haven't seen the offensive fireworks we anticipated. If you had told me before the season that we were going to get like these numbers offensively, you know, like that Stephon Diggs would be held to this, and in the Bears game, like they'd have all this sort of trouble, I would have said, all right, well, they probably found a way to win one of those games. I wouldn't have said they were 2-0. I probably would have said 1-1. But that was cool to hear Ross Tucker have those observations on the Texans.
Well, I think that if there's one thing in general you can say about a team that wins a Super Bowl, it's that they got to be able to win in multiple different ways.
No doubt.
You see all the time teams that have great passing offenses, but then they get into the playoffs and they can't run the ball. Or defenses that are really good at racking up regular season stats, but they can't stop the run or whatever else it might be. I think the interesting thing for the Texans right now is that they went against their typecast defensively. D'Amico Ryan's blitzed more than he's ever blitzed as the defensive coordinator of the Texans, maybe as the 49ers defensive coordinator as well. So, all right, does that become something that they do a lot, or is that something they had to do in the moment? And if it is something they do a lot, if they become a hyper-aggressive blitzing team, can they hold up to it over the course of the season, or do they start to have some tendencies? The biggest thing they have going for them is that it looks right now like they have two cornerbacks who can play a lot of man coverage and do really well at it. If you're going to blitz, you got to have cornerbacks that can play man, because they're going to be exposed at times if the protection holds up, if the blitz doesn't get home. So, yeah, I mean, it could be right now. I get excited about that defensive performance and what they did versus Caleb Williams. But what about the veteran quarterbacks, where it gets a lot dicier and maybe they've got healthy and capable wide receivers? What's it look like then? Because sometimes it's really, you know, Tom Brady in his prime. You're going to blitz Tom Brady in his prime? That's a lot tougher to do.
No doubt. You got Sam Darnold, who I'm not a huge fan of, anybody who listens to this show, but there's no denying he's been very good the first two games of this season. He'll be at home. He's well coached. So you got that coming up. You got Trevor Lawrence. Who knows what type of desperation Jacksonville might be in at that point. They're 0-2 now to start the season. I haven't looked to see who they play this weekend. And then you got Josh Allen the week after that, who Josh Allen's an early MVP candidate here 2 weeks into the season. You know, they played very, very well.
You know, I think the other thing about D'Amico and the way he called that game versus a rookie quarterback was that I think after the first couple series especially, you realize, okay, all right, this kid can do some of the simple stuff, and he's taking the easy opportunities. That's when you decide to, all right, well, let's just go ahead and crank up the heat. And this is the script against young quarterbacks. We've seen it so many times with young quarterbacks in Houston. Case Keenum is a rookie. Came in and, wow, looks pretty good. He's doing some promising things. So then defensive coordinator said, all right, well, let's see how he does when we turn the burner up to high.
Start banging the blitz button.
Yeah, and he looked like a rookie quarterback. Yeah. But that's harder to do versus veteran guys. It's not just as simple as, all right, that's it. That's enough. We've had enough. Just send in the hounds. It's like in any movie from a medieval warfare where the king or the general of the dominant army is watching his troops kind of struggle with the Huns or the barbarians. And he's like, all right, send in the cavalry.
Yeah,
and then they trample everybody underfoot.
Longshanks from Braveheart.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, send him in. And his assistant's like, his assistant's like, sir, do we really need to send him in? Some of our guys are going to get killed. And he's like, yes, but we'll kill some of theirs too.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that, the heavy horses? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Send him the heavy horses.
Yeah. Jags actually play the Bills on Monday Night Football this week. So you might, in Buffalo. So they get an undefeated Vikings team this weekend, the Texans do. Then they're, in all likelihood, going to get a super desperate Jacksonville team in week four. I mean, Jacksonville's probably going to be 0-3 going into that game.
Yeah, this Minnesota game, I think it was one that in the offseason we talked about, okay, this is interesting because, man, Brian Flores' defense was good last year, but they have Sam Darnold, and it's hard. I think a lot of people are going to be saying, I told you so, if Sam Darnold continues doing what he's doing, because I almost based on just a visceral dislike of Sam Darnold for reasons I can't even explain. I don't like Sam Darnold and I want him to fail. Yeah. If he does really well, I'm going to have to eat a lot of crow.
I hate his face. I can tell you why.
It's as simple as that.
He's the originator of my face theory about quarterbacks and head coaches. That before you place that bet, not saying you got to bet against them all the time, but just look at the faces of the head coach and quarterback, and if you're ready to bet on that team, ask yourself, are you ready to bet on a guy with that face? And I would tell anybody looking to take the 2.5 this weekend with the Vikings to do that. Are you surprised the Texans are favored by 2.5 in this game in Minnesota?
That's a really healthy spread versus on the road in a dome versus a really good defense.
Yeah.
I am a little bit surprised. If I were to be completely objective and cold-hearted about this, I might have to bet on the Vikings and just hope for a one or two-point victory by the Texans.
Buy it up to three, baby. That's what you do. Buy it up to three. You talked about the Texans.
I don't know what that means.
That means you buy half a point. You lay a little bit extra to go from 2.5 to 3 points.
Sean, I'm sitting on a ticket that's 40-1 for Kamari Lassiter, Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about your little machinations of how to buy points or however that all works.
I propped you up on Twitter yesterday about that. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. Let's hit Lassiter, Ben. Here's D'Amico Ryans on Kamari Lassiter's home debut this weekend, in which he got his first NFL pick.
Yeah, it was really cool to see Kamari. The work that he's putting in is really cool to see him, you know, reap the benefits of that, right? And getting the pick is a matter of not just him, but it's the rush, speeding up the quarterback, and it's Kamari having really good hands. That was a difficult catch to make as well, so it was really nice play by him. But man, credit to him. The kid's been consistent. I talk about all the time. He's been consistent where he needs to be every single play, and he doesn't press to make plays. Some guys get in the spot and they try to press to make a play, and then you end up putting yourself in a bad position. He's in the right position all the time, and he benefited yesterday from being able to make a pick.
The stats on Kamari Lassiter two games into his career: 10 targets against him, 3 catches. So quarterbacks are 3 for 10. Quarterbacks are 3 for 10 for 28 yards and a pick throwing at Kamari Lassiter. A 0.0 passer rating when targeted, and he's got a Pro Football Focus grade of over 80, which is elite. And I know, you know, with the PFF warning label that, you know, PFF's not an exact empirical rating, but when you're on the fringes of it, you know, if you're down in the 50s, you're probably pretty bad. If you're up in the 80s, you're probably pretty good. And I know just from watching every snap of Kamari Lassiter so far, for the most part, he's been really, really good so far this year.
And I think the challenge, too, in that game where you've got Derek Stingley traveling with DJ Moore, that's, you know, that's a challenge for Derek Stingley, obviously. And I think sometimes you got to remember that when you do that, the downside is also that your other guys might be playing a little bit out of their normal positions. And for Kamari Lassiter, it was a big one. He spent the entire training camp playing on the right side, and every snap in the preseason playing on the right side. All of a sudden, early in that game, he's playing on the left side, which doesn't sound like it should be a big deal, except that everything is completely different from what you as a rookie facing NFL caliber offenses has been. And I thought, and again, maybe early on a little bit, it didn't quite look like it was snapping for him in that game, and he caught on really quickly. So that part of it, that challenge, even though it might sound minuscule, it's something. And the fact that now the Texans have shown this ability to have Derek Stingley travel with the team's best wide receiver, that's another thing that makes you way more capable of blitzing.
Oh, yeah.
So for a guy that hasn't traditionally blitzed a lot, I think as long as Derek Stingley is healthy, D'Amico feels a lot safer blitzing.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't think that the risk reward is nearly as much as it was, say, last year.
Here's D'Amico yesterday talking about Derek Stingley Jr. in the game he had against DJ Moore.
Yeah, schematically, we do a lot of different things. And for me, defensively, whatever it takes, that specific week, that's what we'll do. Stingley was matched up on DJ Moore. Thought he did a really nice job. And to see him go attack the football, that was big time for us. And that's what we need Stingley to do.
Are you excited? Well, let me back up. Do you think that they'll deploy Stingley against Justin Jefferson the way they did with DJ Moore this weekend? Do you think they?
I think, I'll be surprised if they don't, at least a little bit. And I guess the other part of it, though, too, is as the season evolves, where's the trust factor with Kamari Lassiter? And then it might just become kind of a non-issue that, all right, well, if we really like Kamari that much. I think the difference between Kamari and Stingley is still that Stingley, 40 times aside and what have you, Stingley is more of an elite mover.
Yeah.
I think he's elite fast in a way that you probably trust him right now in tracking somebody all over the field. But as Lassiter continues to prove himself, if he continues to prove himself, maybe it just doesn't become as much of a factor. You see Stingley doing it less, not because they don't trust him, but just because they trust Kamari Lassiter as well.
Stingley's gone against Justin Jefferson before. A little LSU on LSU violence there, right? I mean, they were teammates at LSU. All that video out there, Stingley going against Jefferson and Chase in practice back in the day, you know?
Well, we saw Lassiter had gone against A.D. Mitchell in practice a lot. And whoever knows whoever else's tendencies, I don't know if there was a coverage bust or not, but it didn't seem to help when Derek Stingley let A.D. Mitchell, or excuse me, when Kamari Lassiter read A.D. Mitchell just run right by him.
both did. Stingley and Lassiter both had plays.
Well, right, but Lassiter had the, the practice experience.
The history with him. Yeah, no, for sure. back to your analogy, this text is hysterical. Your analogy of the war general just sending in the reinforcements.
Yeah.
Send in the rock boys.
Yeah.
Picturing Whitney and Jacob Martin riding in on a bunch of ponies.
These guys have never seen a Pete Townsend air guitar quite like this.
That's right. all right, Payne and Pendergast. There are a lot of cities right now, a couple in particular, that are very, very, well, they're very upset. And they're upset with some of their own. I blame C.J. Stroud for this, and I'll explain why coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Top of the hour, we're going to get super petty about some of the quarterbacks who are inferior to C.J. Stroud around the NFL.
I love the petty cast.
We'll petty cast it at 8 o'clock today. We'll power rank the power rankings at 9 o'clock today. I am going to guess right now, I'm going to get on the record here at 7:45. We will check the power rankings around the league and power rank the power rankings at 9 o'clock. I'm going to guess, Seth, that the Texans are going to be in the top five of all five of the power rankings that you and I look at on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I think so, especially because a lot of power rankers early in the season go almost strictly on record. McClain does this. There'll be a team that's definitely a pretty good team, but starts off 0-2, and he'll put them like 25th in the power rankings.
They do. They go on record, and I think playing a primetime game against a big city opponent. I know the Bears are not a prominent, like they're not the Chiefs or the Bills or a team viewed as a team like that right now, but that's the third largest city against the fourth largest city. I'm guessing that had a pretty big audience on Sunday night. I'm guessing a lot of people saw it. I'm guessing a lot of people saw the same thing that Ross Tucker saw, or, we here in Houston see the Texans a certain kind of way. I like hearing people outside the city and what they have to say about it, especially in exercises like that, where he's like, wow, man, like, I didn't realize the defense was that.
And trying to be objective about it, I went, I'm reading stuff from Chicago people yesterday and around the league, and I think that as a Texans fan, immediately after that game especially, I think a lot of us were really frustrated because the second half was – so annoying in so many ways. It was easy to kind of forget about what the defense had done in the second half because there were so many miscues and missed opportunities on offense that it was frustrating afterwards. I think the vast majority of people who are a little bit more objective than us watched that game and thought, wow, the score doesn't really reflect who the better team is here.
Yes.
So that made me feel a little bit better. I was kicking myself all day yesterday for kicking myself too much. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, why can't I just enjoy this win? D'Amico told me to enjoy the win, and yet I'm not enjoying it.
You know, it's funny too, and this goes into what I wanted to talk about in this segment. I just looked at a text on the text page. Someone said they're in Chicago, they're already ready to move on from Caleb Williams, callers up there, which I can see. I lived up there for 3 years. Like, Chicago is sort of like a Midwest version of the Northeast where they're crazy. They're crazy about their football, and it's great. I'm guessing the majority don't want to move on from Caleb Williams, but I'm guessing the lunatic fringe may want to move on.
Yeah.
CJ has set an unrealistic standard for rookie quarterbacks around the league. And we saw it all offseason. Every segment about Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and all the other quarterbacks taken in the top 12, which of these guys can have a Stroud-like effect in their rookie year? And the answer is probably every year, probably going to be none of them. Like, like CJ had arguably the greatest rookie year in the history of the league. And so when Bryce Young gets booted after two games in Carolina, CJ Stroud is baked into that storyline, especially because he was drafted right after Bryce Young. And that's an impatient owner up there. I would be willing to bet that if CJ Stroud weren't what he is for us here, Bryce Young might still be the starting quarterback in Carolina based on who ownership is up there.
I think that it's, if you think about some of the best quarterbacks in the league right now and what it was like for them their rookie years, you know, Burrow got injured but was doing some really promising things. I think it was easy for Bengals fans to see what he had in Burrow. I think Josh Allen Josh Allen's first couple years were, even though they made the playoffs in the second year and lost to the Texans in the playoffs, mm-hmm. I think that was more of a dicey intro to where people were not 100% sold on him, and then he all of a sudden just turned on the afterburners in whether year three or year four, whichever
year
it was.
Year three, and that's when he got digs.
I think that a lot of them, if you look at just various random power rankings of quarterbacks, It's almost best to go to one of two teams, either a team where, like the Chiefs, or like the Ravens were with Lamar Jackson, where you can sit and be a backup and learn the NFL game, and then you go into an already good an already competitive team. But then, in some respects, it's almost better to go to a team like the Bengals, where it's not. Like, the expectations aren't necessarily as high, and people are more inclined to hate the owner than the quarterback. And credit to Burrow for doing what he did his rookie year. He wasn't winning football games or anything, but he looked really good. The situation you step into probably really matters. I think the other thing with the Bears is they've just got recent history of taking a quarterback really high in the draft and him not working out, and just they're probably hyper-attuned to stepping into the same mess.
Dude, and I would say yes with Fields, and I would say with the Bears in particular, they've never had a good quarterback ever in the history of their team. Like, Jay Cutler has all their passing records. Like, they've never had a great, they've never had a great quarterback. Like, most franchises have had at least one quarterback that you can bandy about for Hall of Fame candidacy. You know what I mean? At least, I mean, not maybe not a Hall of Famer, but you at least can discuss it with a straight face being a Hall of Famer. The interesting thing about Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, I'll throw Jordan Love in there too, right? Jordan Love got drafted 26. He sits and watches Aaron Rodgers drafted 24th or whatever. He watches Brett Favre. That is the way to go, probably. I mean, that's probably a better recipe for long-term success than getting drafted by a crappy team high in the draft. You know, the problem with that is it comes with a late first round money as opposed to getting, you know, number one overall. Like, the money dips pretty quickly outside of the top 10 in that first round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you gotta, like, if you have a, I mean, you don't have a choice in the matter. Teams are going to draft you where they draft you. But if you're like hoping for something as a quarterback, you're right. Like, for sustainability, if it's like the smart thing to get excited about would be to get drafted by a really good franchise that has a culture and a history of putting putting good things around you, as opposed to like, yeah, I just got picked by the Panthers, number one overall. Yeah, dig me.
The Steelers, man, where, okay, they're going to have a competitive season no matter what, no matter who's their quarterback and what have you. If you can just step in and you've got the right offensive coordinator, that's a pretty good environment.
Yeah, like the Steelers drafted Kenny Pickett 20th overall a couple of years ago. When that fails, that's on Kenny Pickett.
Right.
Like Bryce failing is a lot to do with the team he got. Bryce might not be good, but it has a lot to do with the atmosphere that he's in and the environment. If you fail as a Steelers quarterback, that's on you. You know, that's how I feel about that. I think C.J. Stroud, man, like C.J. Stroud is setting unrealistic expectations. Like, look, C.J. Stroud, you could tell in week two of his career that there was something there. Caleb Williams just spent week two running around getting chased by Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson and Azeez Al-Shaair for a Sunday evening. You can text the show 713-572-4610.
I was looking forward to hearing this Chris Long cut because I haven't heard
it yet. We haven't gotten to it yet. Okay, yeah. Let's get to it. Here is Chris Long. People love C.J. Stroud, man. Chris Long. Chris Long expressing this exact sentiment that C.J. Stroud's made it hard on future rookies.
I mean, he made a throw on fourth and one on a knee.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes he didn't even need his legs. But I've always been impressed with his subtle pocket movements. You know, the guy you had for a very long time in New England, he wasn't the fastest. CJ's not the fastest. But he is very aware of what's going on. He's always got his eyes downfield. And that third and 11 throw was incredible.
Unbelievable.
I mean, he's got these guys in the media, people like us, fans, all messed up because we think there's going to be another CJ every year. That's not the way it goes. Looking at rookie classes.
You have players that get coaches fired, and you have players that keep coaches around for a very long time. And he is one of those players that's going to have D'Amico Ryans there for a very long time.
You know, and I think that, honestly, is one of the things, if you're Bobby Slowick, that's probably tough. I mean, if he gets a head coaching opportunity, it's tough to leave C.J. Stroud and go into the unknown of whichever one of these quarterbacks that we just discussed that don't work out or abject bust or what have you, that's who you're going to hinge your hopes and dreams on. But maybe it just makes it, I mean, does it make it easier to turn down $20 million from the Panthers? I don't know. $20 million per year from the Panthers. I would say if I'm Bobby Slowick, I would make the decision, all right, if the Cowboys want to throw $20 million a year at me to go coach Dak Prescott, I can deal with Jerry Jones. I'll be all right. But no amount of money is worth me going to commit career suicide in Carolina with Dave Tepper as my owner.
No.
And an unknown quarterback of the future.
Yeah. That's, I'd rather as an OC taking a head coaching job, I'd rather take an already good quarterback and try to get him over the top than I would this unknown rookie, and can he be C.J. Stroud? especially after being with C.J. Stroud for a couple years.
Well, if C.J. ends up, you know, building on and consistently doing what he's been able to do as a young quarterback, it almost comes like that. It becomes that disease of Tom Brady that so many people out of New England have succumbed to, is that they get out of that nice little bubble where they have Bill Belichick manning the defense and you've got Tom Brady as your quarterback, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I'm not as smart as I thought I was.
Right.
Oh, this is, oh, crap. Because you try to do some of the same stuff with a young quarterback that you did with CJ, and it doesn't always go that way.
That's right. All right. We are off and running here on a Tuesday. Good to be with you. Up next, we're going to pettycast it. We've got C.J. Stroud. Other cities have janky-ass quarterbacks. We're going to get super petty about how bad those quarterbacks are, including one that was almost here that got benched and was reportedly caught completely off guard by this. We will get to all that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.